Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. This is Tim Hayes. It is January 31st, 2018. This is a Wednesday and we're welcoming you to the show where we're going to do our best to put together another episode of Mindshifter Radio and talk about tools to make our lives better, practical tools to improve the quality of our lives. And the primary one among them is the ancient tool of forgiveness from the ancient Aramaic. And I see, Michael, your call is on. Are you there with us? We've been scrambling a little bit here trying to get the technology sorted out, get the episode created. So
technology,
we're starting a bit late. There we go. Welcome,
all
Michael.
All systems rock and roll. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Michelle, too. And technology is such fun. Especially when it works. When it doesn't, it gives us opportunities to breathe and learn forgiveness. So we're a couple minutes late. Our apology for that. But all systems rock and roll. Jeannie had to take her dad out to their farm today, and the weather's not looking good for tomorrow. They're originally going to go, so it created a little bit of an emergency journey. So opportunities. Our Course in Miracles lesson today is lesson 31. Being the 31st day of the month. And that is, I am not a victim of the world I see. And when you put that in context of our lessons the last couple of days, is to see love, the Creator, in everything and realize that love, the Creator, is in my mind, that I may think I'm a victim because things happen that I don't like, that I don't want. But when I think in terms of victimhood, then I find myself having to blame someone. And when I want to blame someone, I have to give up the creatorship that I have over what happens in my life in order to pretend that I didn't set this up, that I'm not involved in it. And that can be a tough one when one's creative process is totally unconscious and the world comes blasting in. Seemingly taking vengeance on us, and yet not realizing that we're participators in that. One of the is, but look, I really was victimized, and certainly I would never do that to myself. Well, certainly you would never consciously do that to yourself. But as a creator, as one who resonates and brings into ourselves whatever happens in our lives, there comes a point where we have to take responsibility, not blame, but responsibility for how we perceive, how we set up the world that we see. And then when we're willing to collapse the world where victimhood seems to be the rule, then when I drop into what lies underneath it, I find the part of me, and I'm able to forgive the part of me that sets up what appears to be my victimhood. I get the opportunity to remove those things that never belonged. And I'll share an example that someone shared with me on a private call the other day, and maybe if this young lady is there, she might just hit one and share it personally. But But otherwise, I got a call from someone who's very involved in the work, who got a call from her son saying, you know, our precious little boy had spent some time with you, and he came back talking about something he saw on television about passing away. So you're not showing him things appropriate on television. Therefore, in the future, you can only be with him if it's supervised, if my wife or I am with you. And of course, that could anyone, I think, could easily see how that could lead to, oh my God, what's wrong? What do you think is wrong with me? What do you think I've done? I didn't do it. I mean, all kinds of defenses, all sorts of attacks. What, who do you think you are? You know, I raised you. I did a pretty good job. What's, you know, you can see all sorts of things happening. And because this woman had been doing her work diligently for some time, this isn't something that's going to, for the average person, pop up, you know, the first time you step in and do a little bit of forgiveness work. But what her perceptual mind did with that, and it's just such a perfect example with this lesson, what her perceptual mind went to was, wow, that means I'm going to get to spend time with you and your wife, you know, my precious son and his wife and my grandson all at the same time. How cool is that? So instead of feeling attacked and victimized, what she created out of it, she was going up there for a weekend and was going to have her grandson. But what she created was 4 days of being together with the whole family. Instead of having to be right about, well, I didn't do anything wrong with your son, therefore this is fair, you know, that whole game, turned it into, and what it turned into was just an awesome experience of being with her grandson and her son and his wife for 4 days and just having a precious, wonderful time in that experience and turning it into a gift. Because the perceptual mind, instead of moving to attack or put down or whatever it was able to see, oh, what a precious gift. You mean I get to spend the time with all of you? How cool is that? And was just with delight and joy that she shared this with me, the turnaround where she could see herself at some point in the past having been a victim. And, you know, the whole game begins to change. If I hold thoughts of victimhood, then I will generate perceptual constructs that will turn me into a victim. When I am willing to persistently collapse my perceptual constructs based in victimhood, then I can make myself available to the gift that comes. Because if I am in resonance and in harmony with the Creator, then everything will work. Loving, gentle, respectful, awesome outcomes. Everything. Now, if I'm connected to hostility and fear, that's not the way it works. I mean, you go back into the scriptures and it says, to those who believe in God, all things work together for good. And you go, well, what does that really mean? It means that if your mind is connected to the mind of love, if you're connected to the truth of who you are as the offspring of love, then everything that you touch, everything that touches you will turn into a gift. And so that's the kind of thinking that we're here to support. And it was just a really sweet example to have shared with me by this young lady and the result produced. And the bonus gift was, it was, the relationship had been a little bit strained. And the bonus was, at the end of the weekend, it was, hey, Mom, you know, text me when you get home. I love you. Be safe. And it was just like the weekend eradicated the strain that had previously expressed in the relationship. So powerful, powerful. And one of the things that oftentimes I like to move into next with that idea is how often and what the costs are of this idea of the need to be right. We just finished a week in Atlanta, took a day or two to take care of ourselves in Atlanta, and then left yesterday morning and drove to visit a friend just outside of Boone, North Carolina. And this friend lives in an area where there are some ramparts from the war and a place where there'd been a cannon placed, sitting over a valley with, you know, the road below. And you know, there was some conversation about the battles and, you know, perhaps mass graves on the property from the Civil War. And then as we drove back this morning, we left there early, drove up through North Carolina, Tennessee, and back to Bristol. And Ginny was driving, so I just kind of got to hang out with the scenery and how absolutely beautiful it is. You know, even just my own perceptual mind and the constructs it makes, these you know, beautiful little country churches sitting by a brook, and there was a little bit of snow, and the sun was bright and clear, and then these homes, these unique log cabs that somebody's built. There was one home that had this symbol that was made of brightly colored wood on it. It was just so beautiful and, you know, so unique. And so as I'm driving, I'm just contemplating the individuals, you know, who lives in that house. What being called love created that house? And then, you know, driving through some pretty poor areas, and here's this rundown shack with, you know, garbage, you know, junk in the front yard. And it's like, what being called love lives in that space? And recently, Jeannie and I had watched a CBS special, or not CBS, it was a PBS special, that was recommended to me, actually by my brother from Canada. And it was a special on the Civil War. And I talked about it a little bit when we watched it. Just so tragic, so tragic. One of the scenes I remember the first time that I really, you know, being born and raised in Canada and moving here to the States, one of the first times I really looked at Civil War stuff, I can remember doing some research and reading. And one of the things that really struck my being, you know, just really opened a space in me to look at what are we really doing here, was there was a pile of, and it was probably about 6 feet in diameter and maybe 2 or 3 feet high, a pile of amputated feet. And then watching this Civil War special and what brother did to brother, what, you know, one group of people did to another, what one state did to another, what this army did to that army, what this man in his rage and his viciousness marched through and just destroyed. And then one of the things that really struck me was at the end of the war, you know, the South has surrendered, and in their surrender, they're taken prisoner, and then, and I don't know whether this was across the board, I don't remember exactly whether it was just one particular group, but it was in this particular scene in the Civil War special, there's a group of obviously broken, beaten, defeated, frozen, starved men who've now surrendered. The war is over. And the men who the day before are doing their best to shoot and kill them, now that the war is over and they're, quote, no longer enemies, and think about this, the Northern soldiers have to breathe. The Northern soldiers broke out their rations and their food and fed and embraced the men who the day before they were shooting and killing, the men who had surrendered, befriending them, caring for them, honoring them. And it occurred to me that how much of the insanity that happens in families, people beating up on each other physically, mentally, emotionally, verbally, financially, I get to work with a lot of people going through divorces and what they do to each other. And how much of it is based on one goal and one goal only, that perhaps would be a really powerful goal for each and every one of us to really do 77 times 70 wake-up sheets around. And that is the goal, to be right, to win. You know, from one day to the next, you know, one day this guy's got his rifle beaded at somebody and doing his best to blow his head off, and the next day he's feeding him and holding him and nurturing him. And the only thing that changed was the South said, okay, you win. And the North said, we're winners. We were right. We did it. And how much and what does that goal, the need to be right or the need to win, drive in the way of hostility and fear that takes us out of our humanness, out of this capacity? You know, once, remember we've talked before about a goal. Once a goal is set, it's either got to be achieved or canceled. So what changes for these men who are willing to mercilessly slaughter the guy in the gray uniform, that the next day he's feeding and taking care of his wounds? What changed? One guy said, okay, I'm defeated. I give. You win. No longer driving the need to win, the need to be right. No longer driving the one who has a behavior of reality that says, I have to shoot, kill this person. Now has a behavior driving reality that says, I can nurture and take care of and have compassion for this brother. How much suffering would disappear from our world if each and every person on the planet would simply, consistently, persistently cancel the need to be right, the need to win? How could our world change? And so I just invite you to breathe on that for a moment and see what that resonates for you. And I invite you to consider that piece of work and see how much more beauty you see in the world. So the lesson is the forgiving of victimhood, letting go of the recognition that I'm a creator, not a victim of the world I see. And when I forgive everything that turns me into victim, and oftentimes I think the person who needs to be right is playing out of a perceptual reality based in victimhood, the need to win in order to cover the pain of a time when there was a loss or a beating of some kind over not being right. It seems to be a big issue. And so I'm just opening the space for everyone to consider that one. And I'll offer that it's one that I'm working with today as a result of that drive and having that insight, that piece given to me as I was being chauffeured back to Bristol, Tennessee. Jeannie, thank you for driving. I don't know if you're listening to the show. She's with her dad heading off to the family farm to get some things accomplished before the snow sets in. And then we'll be back on the road again next week. We'll be, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll be at Unity in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. And so if you're in that area, come and play with us. We'd be delighted to have you. Then next week we'll be at Unity in Wilmington, North Carolina. Of course, Speech is in North Carolina as well, northern, toward the northern border. So we'll be doing a week in each place. We'll be doing 6 free workshops, and then we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing. The following week, we'll be in, starting on March the 1st, 1st of the 9th, we'll be doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive in an awesome 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house on the beach in Oak Island, North Carolina. So we'll be doing that starting on the 1st of March. And then on the 11th of March, we were originally doing teacher training, but it seemed that there was more interest at Heartland for teacher training this summer than there was for the beach in North Carolina, originally from some conversations with people. They wanted to do that, so that's why we set it up that way. But it turned out that the interest is actually at Heartland, so we're going to cancel the 9-day teacher training that we were going to do at Oak Island, and we're going to do instead a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive. And that will start on the 11th of March. We'll actually finish the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive on the 9th. The morning we'll do a closure session, and then we'll have the 10th to, you know, get the house refurbished and reset, and, you know, rooms cleaned and all that sort of neat stuff, beds reset. And then on the 11th, the evening of the 11th, we'll start. That's a Sunday. We'll start the 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive. So if you're interested in joining us, let us know. We'd be delighted to have you. If you are going to be there through both intensives, then the extra time from the, usually when we finish the 9-day Y, we finish it on a morning session and closure, and then in the evening we start into the teacher training. So those who might choose to stay over, that'll be a couple of extra free days on the beach, and we'll feed you as well. Of course, we'll put you to work a little bit creating the food, but that'll be free time, but there'll be no fee for anybody who's staying for both workshops. So we'll be delighted to be doing that. Our Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop is full, and starting, I think we've got 2 spaces already spoken for in the codependence to interdependence intensive. So if you want to join us, drop Jeannie an email at jeannie@whyagain.org. jeannie@whyagain.org, or if you've got her phone number, my phone number, you're welcome to give us a call. We'll get you set up. Come and play. Once we're finished there, a couple of weeks later, we're in Asheville, North Carolina, doing the Coptic Conference. We're talking with Unity in Atlanta about maybe going back and doing a weekend residential kind of thing. So we'll keep you posted and keep announcements going. We will be making the journey from the completion in North Carolina to back to Heartland to start the Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work program on the 8th of June. And so it's a 16-day program this year. And Julie has graciously offered that anybody who participates in that 16-day program, that she's going to give them each 10 free sessions. And Julie's session, Julie Haverstick, is the kind of the worksheet queen. And she has more experience with the worksheet probably than anybody else on the planet. And I include myself in that with the work that she's done with people and such on a one-on-one level. And so she normally charges $80 an hour, and her sessions will be at least an hour and a half each, 10 of them. So that's a pretty nice gift for anyone who chooses to come and be part of the Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work program. And that'll start on the 8th of June. It's 16 days, and we'll be doing work projects on the property. It's kind of the economy program for being at Heartland. We'll be doing work projects on the property during the day. In the evening, we'll do workshops, a wide variety of workshops. Saturday, we'll do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. Ari is going to be there. He's got some new recipes and new ideas for food. He's going to be doing some teaching on food to Branson to do a show. And all of that will be included in the tuition for the 16 days. And there'll also be a canoe trip and some art projects and other fun things that Tracy is dreaming up and working with. Between she and Julie, they've decided to really help to revitalize the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Program again. And so that's pretty cool, pretty sweet. Thank you, Julie, for that. And thank you, Tracy, for your excitement, enthusiasm, and interest in moving it forward. And so that's kind of a sketch of what's happening. And Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir? Or my apology for that confusion at the beginning there, but what's exciting in your world? Anything to share?
Well, I'm doing well, and we had our support group last night, and we'd been running a pretty low census in our support group, 3 or 4 people, and last night we had 8 people plus me, and we had a very productive worksheet that one member requested right out of the box. When we get done with our discussion, I have a worksheet I want to do. So this person did a worksheet, and as so often happens in a group setting, when one person does a worksheet, it resonates a similar issue or has been a common issue for a number of people in the group. And last night being no exception, it was actually after that person processed their worksheet, another person said, by the way, seemingly different, but exactly the same issue was coming up for me with a different way into the issue, but the core issue was the same, this self-sabotage, fear of moving forward, or fear of failure in moving forward. So, again, the benefits of working in the group, in a community, were on a vivid display last night. And, again, my thanks to all the people that choose to use their time in a way that helps support their own growth and the community of the support group. And one of the issues that came up in the video was defining love as this energy of the Creator, the stuff that we're made of, etc. And noticing that energy is an accepting, embracing, inclusive energy. And one of the statements that was made in the video last night was that if I think I need to change something, transmute something, get rid of something, that's me and my ego. That's not the action of love. Love would demonstrate the action of sitting down with, embracing, asking to get to know better, whatever other energies are up within a person. And this sparked some people in the group to say, wait a minute, that's the opposite of what we're doing in our worksheets, because our worksheets, we're trying to get in there and get rid of those negative energies. And I asked people to just breathe into it, because there were 2 people in the group that gave voice to that they viewed this the worksheet process as a tool for attacking and getting rid of stuff. And I encouraged them to soften and notice that's their own individual interpretation, and that when I present the worksheet, I outline how, or I point out how the top part of the worksheet is simply asking me to be as honest as possible about what is the dynamic going on inside of me and how my conscious logical mind is creating a rationalization for me to validate my negative emotions and my being right for any other people wrong, etc. And then after that, I just get in touch with this energy of love and creation and ask to be shown something different. That the actual mechanism of the worksheet is exactly what was being talked about in the Way of Mastery video, is just allowing, accepting, breathing, tapping into our true nature, and asking to be shown, rather than using the conscious, logical, or egoic mind to make the change or prove that one is right and another is wrong, etc. So, not surprisingly, right in line with your comments this morning about the core of my creation of negative energies in my energy system revolves around my need to be right. And one of the primary goals for me to cancel over and over and over again is I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything else to change, including myself. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf for now, and I ask to be shown from something outside my logical mind how I'm actually carrying with me or creating the upsetting energy that I've experienced that makes me pick up the worksheet in the first place. And once I go to that state of allowance and acceptance and surrender, there is no limit to how much better my life can get. So that's my offering for today.
Powerful one, Tim. Thank you. I'm right along. I'm right with you there. The visualization that came to mind when you were saying that is one that I've used in the workshop before. And, you know, you imagine the person who's frantically, they're in the bathtub and the soapy water, and they're frantically trying to get their hand around that bar of soap and, you know, keep slipping away, slipping away, slipping away. And instead, this loving, relaxed, gentle hand comes forward to embrace the bar of soap. And it's this whole forgiveness process is that of, you know, I love how the Course says it, bring the world you do not want to the one you do. That bringing the root perceptions that result in hostility and fear forward gently to this space of active love, allowing what doesn't really serve our life process to dissolve and let go and move forward to the next level of functioning as these awesome human beings that we're designed to function as. So, cool. Fabulous. Well, shall we check and see if there's anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Well, we have one person in the chat room with no questions or comments. They're just listening. And we have a lot of people in the phone queue. So if you have a question or a comment, press 1. That will let me know that you want to speak. And so here we have area code 847. You're in the air.
847, welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Well, it's
hello,
interesting.
Hello, 847.
Her hand just went up. Makes me wonder if I am having a problem with the switchboard, because I have clicked
switchboard?
On.
Well, 847, if you're trying to say something, we can't hear you. Maybe you could just really quickly hang up and dial back in again and go ahead and put your hand up, and we'll see if we can get it to click through. I'm not sure. I heard a noise in the background when it clicked, and don't know whether it was on your end, Tim. Or
she, he, they just dropped, so perhaps they will call in again and raise their hand.
We'll
but
call
in the meantime,
in.
We have 24 minutes left to hear a testimonial, answer a question about the worksheet process. Area code 610. You're in the air.
Hi, can you hear me, Susan? In Pennsylvania.
Yes, Susan.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
You're
good
loud.
Morning.
Here,
good
young
afternoon.
Lady. Welcome.
Hi. You said testimonial. This is so great what you're talking about. And I only just got on about 10 minutes ago because I teach on Wednesdays. But I've been doing worksheets on a person who's in a reading group of mine who kind of hijacks the reading group by talking a great deal. And this person has a speech difficulties. She has dysphonia from a car accident. So she talks like this, and she struggles to talk, and yet she probably is pushing herself to talk more to prove that she can still talk. But in any case, the group is kind of dead in the water while she tells in great, great detail one thing or another that's going on, and more detail than anybody needs and so forth. And I'm feeling as if I'm getting ready to jump out of my skin, and I'm doing a worksheet in my head saying active present love, active present love. And then I was saying, you know how it is. So I was saying, doing my reading this morning, and the answer came, and it's just what you've been talking about, Dr. Tim, and probably you, Michael. But it was put in another way. So this is a testimonial that sort of adds on to what you've been saying. And that was, the text said something like, and this is the Course in Miracles, it said, join with me in loving that person. Don't try to do it all by yourself. See the person through my eyes, because I love this person. So line yourself up with me, and we can do it together. And bingo, that just made so much difference. Now, I have to tell you, I haven't been back to that reading group. I might start jumping out of my skin again. But I find this an extremely useful tool. End of testimonials.
For sure. Yeah, powerful. Powerful. And, you know, at the same time, I know that oftentimes in intensives, you know, we'll have people who like to tell their story. And one of the things I start out the intensive with is the instruction that says, you know, I am really not the least bit interested in your story, because we're here to do some inner work. And if everybody, I mean, there are enough stories in this room to fill a whole 9 days with nothing else but stories, and we'd never get any work done. So if there's something we need to know about your circumstance, your situation, that is germane to what we need to know to support you in what we're going to move through, please share it. But otherwise, keep your story to yourself. And so it might be appropriate with this woman to be able to say, you know, we need to, and I will oftentimes, when somebody gets into their story, you know, they want to tell us about what happened on Thursday, and they start on Wednesday when they got on the bus, who they met on the bus, but they're going to tell us about Thursday. And I'll oftentimes stop them and say, you know, I get you got something you want to tell us, but what we need to do is get to the bottom line so we can get to the truth of healing and move forward. So maybe you could let go of the story and just give us the bottom line of where you're heading with this. And that can be, I think, a really easy segue into what otherwise people take as an insult. And yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. This is more story. Let's move forward.
Yeah. I can see us doing that as a way of setting some ground rules the way you do ahead of time. I tell you, once she was rolling with her story, for any one of us, and so I looked at my friends, and some of them had on their frozen smiles, you know, and they're sitting there being loving and friendly and probably dying the way I was. And
Cancel the dying part.
Yep. Okay, thank you. I heard it as soon as I said it. I'm getting a little better. It still comes out first, and then I catch it. But, I think what you do in the beginning is the ticket, is to say, because our purpose is to talk about a book we've all been reading over the past month, and there's usually a lot of juicy stuff in the book that we would really like to discuss. And oftentimes, because of this particular person, we don't get to it. And
right. I hear you.
People have dropped out of the group, but I think that's unnecessary, and it's not loving to her. She's, you know, there's nothing. She deserves the respect. Like the Syrophoenician woman again. Jesus challenged her, but he stayed with her. And I think we've got to stay with her. So that is so good, Michael, that idea of just saying, let's redraw our directives here and get back to material, and also give room for the nugget of the story if the story is relevant to the story. It needs to come out in some way. That's great. Thank you. Good.
Cool. And I'll drop you an email with a link to, or a page that we hand to everybody when we start an intensive. It's It's called What We Found Makes an Intensive Work, and we just go through several things that make the space easier and more functional, and you might find that helpful with what you're doing there.
Oh, I would. That would be great.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Delight to hear your voice.
Thanks. Yours
okay.
too.
Bless. And I join with you through the mind of love, seeing through those eyes.
Oh.
All right. Well, Dr.
So
Kim,
area
you code 847.
Well, area code 847 has called back in. Are you on the air?
Yes, this is Cindy. I apologize. I hit the mute button on accident.
I've never done that, Cindy. Cool. Great. Good to hear your voice. What's exciting for Cindy today?
I'm checking back in because I have a lot of things going on with my work situation. I had called probably a week and a half ago because my job has two different locations. There's one close to me
right.
and there's one that's far from me. And they had moved me out of the one that was far from me but that I had enjoyed. So I had gotten used to that, and I had done some worksheets about them supporting me, and that was really good, really a positive thing for me. And then they actually, last Friday, the girl who is working there she wanted full time, and then she came to our boss and said, I can't handle this. And now she wanted Wednesday afternoons off. So now I'm back there for half the day. So I'm just working with that and just working on how I feel about that. So that's kind of what's going on with me and working on just finding peace for myself. So while I do choose to be there, that I can be calm and peaceful when I am there.
All right. Well, it's interesting how things come back around, isn't it? Is there anything specific we can support you with? Any specific questions?
I'm having trouble putting it into words exactly, but I'm working on figuring out. I feel like it is interesting how things come back around, but I feel like I'm having a lot of shoulds in my mind about how I should be sticking up for myself or doing things differently. And I also recognize that this is a big one for me that I'm currently working with on this. I notice that I seem to, especially in this particular workplace, have, it's like I feel the need to rescue them or help them, but then I over help them. And then what ends up happening is me and another coworker of mine, they tend to always like lean on us, rely on us to do this. And there are times when it just is becoming heavy for me. So I'm working on doing some worksheets around why that's happening.
And you might want to notice that your language says it becomes heavy rather than I bring heaviness to this circumstance. Heaviness, of course, is an experience that's internal to you. And remember, our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is causing something that my mind is doing to happen. I'm in denial. And so when I say it is heavy, I'm saying to myself that the heaviness is caused by that out there rather than, it is resonating some heaviness in me and the gifts perhaps for me to be able to free my life from this heaviness that I bring to this particular party.
So then I'm taking the responsibility so I can heal it then. That's good.
Yeah. So the same circumstance happens, but your perceptual construct doesn't involve this heaviness that comes from within. That is now resolvable because you get to go, the heaviness I bring to this situation belongs to me. Now I can bring an easy lightheartedness to exactly the same circumstance. How is that going to transform the situation when I'm contributing a lightheartedness and a sweetness to it rather than this heaviness that, and wherever, you know, who knows what the heaviness pattern is. Is it, you know, something that used to happen in interaction with mom or dad or big sister or big brother or, you know, little sister, little brother? Was there something in the family? If you can remember a time when you felt this heaviness in other circumstances, is there anywhere that you recall that sense of heaviness?
Yes, and I notice it because I have some interesting family dynamics where my mom and my grandma don't always get along, and my parents were divorced. So I grew up when I was little, living with my mom and my grandma. And so I took on the role of like the peacemaker or the rescuer kind of for their relationship.
Sounds like you're getting to work that one out again.
Yes.
How cool is that? Because basically what you were talking about was that you and this other person who works there are rescuing them, in essence. That's what you were saying, that, and they rely on you for that. So you might want to go back and do some work around the mama, grandma situation as a small child, and maybe, you know, do wake-up sheets as yourself in that circumstance. Do wake-up sheets as grandma in that circumstance. Do wake-up sheets as mom in that circumstance. And see what you're shown. And then come forward and replicate those worksheets with yourself in the current circumstance where it brings that heaviness up in you, that quality. Do worksheets perhaps as the employer who's leaning on you, counting on you for that, as though you were actually them in that circumstance. Actually be them and do their worksheet and see what shows up for you. And then the other coworker, perhaps the same. And you might find some interesting patterns that, I get to let go of this one. I can soften and relax into this situation.
Okay. That sounds like an awesome thing to do, to work on.
Yeah, it sounds like a good piece of work. And there might be some, you know, if mom and grandma were in conflict, there might be some of that need to be right stuff that we're talking about. That's kind of what I was tapping into in the earlier part of the conversation was, you know, is there part of you that, you know, wants to be right about something, you should have been able to stay there when you wanted to, or you know, what all those things are. And there might be some of that in mom and grandma's conflict, and of course you wanting to be the peacemaker to create the resolution ended up taking on perhaps some of the drama and trauma energy that they were playing out. And so here life is giving you the circumstance once again to bring that part of your mind up, and instead of being victim to that part of your mind, you now are able to go, I can embrace this part of my mind in this lighthearted, gentle presence of love and dissolve this one, free this one, forgive this one.
Okay, yeah, that's making sense, because I also realize that there is a piece of me that is thinking that if they hire somebody else, which they need to do, then that may mean that something I like will be taken away from me, or something that brings me joy will be taken away from me if they hire somebody else. So I feel like in my mind, like I'm sort of manipulating them. So if I step up and do this, then they don't have to hire anybody and something won't be taken away from me. So I also recognize that I have that going on as well.
Right. Well, it sounds like there's going to be some good opportunities in this one for you.
Yes. Thank you for helping.
Well, we'll hold the space. Awesome. Delighted. Glad to be on the team. Keep us posted on how it unfolds.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, lots of love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
We have one more person with a hand up.
Sweet. Let's say hello.
Area code 760. You're in the air.
Hey there. This is Anne in Florida.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Hey, so when you were talking about, well, I need to be right. Yeah, it's a given. It just resonated, but I wanted
neither you nor I have ever had that one to work on, right?
Right. But I wanted to share with Susan because the testimony about the whole thing about telling the story, I just wrote a note quick because I have to say when you first did that at the first intensive I went to, well, what, I don't know that it was so much the Food for Forgiveness one, but definitely the Law of the Living is like, you know, I had
right.
to take a breath. Because of what it triggered, yeah, this is personal. Oh my God, you know what it takes. But after a while, especially when you explain it, and we have to get in that space of wait a minute, this is important. That it becomes, yeah, it's not a big deal. Oh yeah, and you know, and to watch you do it to everybody, it's like okay, knowing that's not personal. But what I realized. What I realized is that I now, I mean, here it is a year later, and I didn't realize how much I had started working on this till I was working with a friend and on her, you know, thinking negative so much and everything stuff that was going on with her. So we're accountability as far as both I'm allowed to say something to her and her to me. But I started shortening my stories. And then say for this one friend, I am allowed to interrupt and say, okay, and so the point is, or the bottom line is, and it's like, oh yeah, because I realized how much I would get off track. And also she does the same thing. And so, you know, we can kind of, and then we can laugh about it because it's like, oh wait, yeah, we don't need all this other
right.
stuff in there. And then, but also but it's on text messages, I'll speak into it and it texts, and I look and I go, wait, I don't need to say all that. And especially since if it goes to my daughter, she doesn't have time to read all that. It's like, wow,
right.
okay, so I just realized what a benefit this is, you know, to not have to tell all the details and not have to start on 2 days ahead of what we're trying to
right. right.
So anyway.
Well, I think a lot of cases, yeah, I think a lot of cases the need to tell one's story comes from a childhood where nobody paid attention, and so the need is to consume someone else's attention in order to have attention, as opposed to function as a being called love, that whether I get attention or not doesn't matter. I live in this delightful, connected space, whatever anybody's doing or not doing around me.
I agree, because mine comes from the stepfather thing of, you know, I tell you what to do, and you're not allowed to ask any questions, you know, just do it. Because
mm-hmm.
he was a chief and never had any children, and his previous marriage, and yeah, he didn't know how to parent. And so, yeah. And then, of course, my mom grew up in the generation, yeah, well, you know, seen and not heard, and yeah. So
exactly.
All those dynamics. Play down. Yep, absolutely. Anyway, so it's great to know, oh, well, underlying there is something going on. There is something working here. Yay.
Yay. Had a nice talk with Elizabeth the other day.
Oh, good. I haven't gotten back.
I finally got a hold of her.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I'm holding a space for everything there as well.
Cool.
Good. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, well, you have a blessed day. Up to love.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Say again.
And thank Dr. Tim, too. I love his sharing that, too, because I could relate to what he shared as well. So, okay, have
awesome.
A blessed day, and I'm still holding a space in prayer for, you know, whether to make it this summer. So.
All right, blessings. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, well, Dr. Kim,
right.
We are down to about 2 minutes, so.
Yeah, you may not get the beep in your ear because you started late, but I need to move on to an appointment at 1, so we're ready
well,
for your closing
right down
comment.
To the last few seconds, so we'll just say, everybody, we hold the space for you each to create and give the world the gift of the best year yet of your eternal life. And we'll look forward to whatever conversations unfold in tomorrow's show. Show. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.